Thank you. slip up your hand. Brother Fabian will bring you one. As always, we've got our service times listed there on the upper left-hand side. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. again at 5:30 p.m. Thursdays at 7. We're going to be wrapping up the book of 1 Kings this week, so come on out for that. And then we've got the church-wide soul winning, the salvations, baptisms for both the month and year listed below that. And we'll go ahead and count up the salvations. We're going to go back, if people can remember back this far, to Monday. So last Monday, the 1st, I don't think the soul winning got counted up. Thursday, when I was not here. So if there's anything from Monday or Tuesday of last week, Wednesday of last week, Thursday of last week, and then Friday, Saturday, one for Saturday, and then there was the one today. Great, thank you. All right, don't forget, we've got the happy birthdays over there. Noah wasn't in there, little Noah Nunez, but he'll be in there next year. Little Noah, wherever he is, I've got him written down, so there he is. There's the birthday boy. Hi, Noah. So we'll make sure he's in there, and then, of course, Heather's in there as well, my daughter. But that's what the donuts are for. There might be one left back there if you guys want to fight for it here. That'd be interesting to see. But that happy birthday to everybody celebrating in the month of August. We've also got the game night coming up this Friday on August 12th from 5 to 9 p.m. So if you can make it out, come on out and join us. You don't have to bring your favorite board game or even your least favorite board game, but if you want to bring one, that would definitely help. But I'm sure we'll have plenty, so bring a game out, and we'll have light refreshments here, just some veggie trays and such, and also some meat and cheese and things like that. So don't come expecting a full meal. You're probably still going to want to eat dinner, but there will be some snacks and things, unless you want to just fill up on salami and cheese and popcorn, which I could think of worse things to fill up on, but we'll have that here available. And then also the big announcement regarding the four-year anniversary coming up on Sunday, September 4th. We're going to have Deacon Oliver Gonzalez from Verity Baptist Church preaching for us. So if you've never heard him preach, come on out. It's always a blessing when he comes out and preaches for us. It's been a few years, but we're looking forward to having him out. And again, take note of the times there. The morning service is staying the same at 10:30, but we are moving up the evening service to 3:30. So not 5:30 on that Sunday, but 3:30. Of course, that's to accommodate for the fact that we're going to be having a potluck between services. If you'd like to come out and join us for that as well, we're going to have the church will be smoking a couple of briskets. We'll also probably be cooking up burgers and hot dogs, just things like that to kind of fill in the cracks. But if you want to bring a main, you can, or you could bring a side dish or a dessert. And if you're going to bring anything to pass, please do sign up back there so everyone kind of has an idea of what's coming. And then on the back, there's the list for the upcoming songs in the week to come. So if you want to know what songs we're going to be singing this Thursday and next Sunday, you've got them listed there. You can scan the QR code to be taken to the church website where you'll can get the tune and things like that, or you can look these things up. And that's just a tool for you to kind of learn the songs with us here. And then we've got the invitation for all the ladies to the baby shower in honor of Kami Ellingson. That's going to be Saturday, September 17th from 2 to 5, and you can speak to Mrs. Gardere if you want to help participate in decorating for that. And then there's also the gift registry there as well. That's going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching tonight.
Thank you. first one above was here over here. It's hard to pass over Jordan's going to possess nations great and mighty than myself. Cities great and fenced with heaven. People great and tall, greater than the animals, who thou knowest, and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of man. Understand that for this day, the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire, and shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out, and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. Speak not thou in thine heart, so that the Lord thy God hath cast them out before thee, saying, For my righteousness, the Lord hath brought me into possessions, but for the wickedness of the nations, the Lord hath drive them out before thee, not for thy righteousness, but for the uprightness of thy name. Thou go to possess their path, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God will drive them out from before thee, that he may perform the word which the Lord swears to thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Understand therefore, the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, but our stiff-necked people. Remember, forget not, how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart out of that region, when he came to this place. He had been rebellious against the Lord. Also, the Lord provoked the Lord to wrath, so the Lord was angry, having destroyed him. He had destroyed him, and now was gone up into the mount to receive the table of stone, and the table of the covenant which the Lord made him. Then I abode him about 40 days and 40 nights, and I gave him bread and water. The Lord delivered unto me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written, according to all the words which the Lord spake with him in the mount, out of the midst of the fire on the day of the assembly. It came to pass at the end of 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me 2 tables of stone, even the table of the covenant. The Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way, which I commanded them. They have made them the most rich. Furthermore, the Lord spake unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, they are the stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them, and blot out their name from under heaven. And I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they. So I turned and came down from the mountain, and the mount burned with fire, and my 2 tables, and the covenant were in my 2 hands. And I looked, and behold, I had sinned against the Lord your God, and I made you a molten calf, and I turned aside quickly out of the way, which the Lord had commanded me. And I took the 2 tables, and cast them out from my 2 hands, and break them before your eyes. And I fell down before the Lord, as at the first, 40 days and 40 nights, and I did not eat bread. Water for all your sins, but you sinned, and you were wicked, in the sight of the Lord, to provoke him to anger, for I was afraid of the anger, and not his pleasure, for which the Lord was wroth against you, and destroyed you. But the Lord hearkened unto me at that time also. And the Lord was very angry with Aaron, and had destroyed you. And I prayed for Aaron also at the same time. And I took your stick, and the calf which you had made, and burnt it with fire, and stabbed it, and ground it very small, even until it was as small as dust. Casting dust thereof into the brook that descended out of the mountain, and a tabernacle, and a massa, and a kibbutz, he provoked the Lord's wrath. Likewise, the Lord sent him to Kadesh Barnea, saying, Go up and possess the land, which I have given you. And he rebelled against the commandment of the Lord, your God, and he believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. He had been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights, and I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said, He would destroy you. I prayed therefore unto the Lord, and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people, and thy inheritance, which thou shalt be, and thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt, the mighty hand. Remember thy servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and look not to the stubbornness of his people, nor to their wickedness, nor to their sin. Lest the land which thou broughtest us out say, Because the Lord was not able to bring them into the land which he promised them, and because he hated them, he hath brought them out to slay them in the wilderness. But they are thy people, and thy inheritance. Thou brought us out by thy mighty power, and thy stretched out arm. For thou art a great for us.
Thank you, Father God, for this day. Thank you again for this church. Thank you for this evening service. We ask you to please just bless this evening service. Give you all the praise and glory. Thank you. Bless Deacon Corbin with the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So in Deuteronomy, you have the beginning there where really this book is just before they're going into the promised land, and Moses is recounting of all the things that they had already been through before he sends them on their journey, and reminds them here in verse 9 of some things that had happened when they first came out, And I want to draw attention especially there to verse 7, where he said, "Remember and forget not how that thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness from the day that thou didst depart up out of the land of Egypt until ye came into this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord." And then he reminds them of some very specific incidents where they were this rebellious people. It says, "Also in Horeb, you provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up to the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water." And this is something that Moses did several times in his journeys with the children of Israel, where he goes up into this mount or he gets apart alone with God and he prays. And it says there that he prayed specifically for 40 days and 40 nights and having not eaten any bread nor having drunk any water. So this is a very serious thing that Moses did, going up and praying for these people. And again, it mentions another instance, you know, where, of course, we know, understand here, he receives the Ten Commandments written in stone, and it says in verse 17, "And I took the two tables and cast them out of my hands and break them before your eyes when he comes down and sees them worshiping the golden calf." And notice verse 18, "And I fell down before the Lord as the first. 40 days and 40 nights I did eat neither bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned and doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." So you have these two instances back to back where he's going apart and he's praying, you know, 80 days before the Lord, not eating, not drinking, and he's very compelled to pray. And then he reminds us again in verse 23 of another instance where this takes place. He says, "Likewise, when the Lord sent you from Kadesh Barnea, saying, 'Go up and possess the land which I have given you,' then you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord our God, and you believed him not, nor hearkened to his voice. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights as I fell down at the first, because the Lord said he would destroy you. I prayed therefore to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thy inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, and thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand.'" And what I want to preach to you tonight is a sermon entitled, "A Few Reasons to Pray." A few reasons to pray. You see, Moses had some reasons to go and pray. He said, what would compel somebody to go up into a mountain twice and then in another instance, years later perhaps, get away apart and turn aside and go pray to God for 40 days and 40 nights? And we have these extended times of fasting and praying and seeking God's face and beseeching the Lord and getting with God. What would compel somebody to do that? Well, it's because Moses there was somebody that had a few reasons to pray. There were some things that were on his heart that compelled him to go and to make these great prayers to God. And I'm here to tell us tonight that, you know, we have reasons that should compel us to go and pray and get alone with God. We have a few reasons ourselves to pray. Of course, there's many reasons why we ought to pray, but I'm just going to briefly give you a few reasons tonight, some from the text here and other places in Scripture, where we can see that we also have some reasons to pray. And this is important because of the fact, you know, Moses was a great leader, wasn't he? He was also a great servant, right? He was a servant of God. He was also called the friend of God. You know, and we might desire these things in our lives. We ought to desire these things. We're all going to be leaders in some way, shape, or form. You know, mothers are going to lead children. Children are eventually going to grow up and be mothers and fathers. Fathers are leading in the workplace, in the home. Perhaps we'll go in the ministry one day. You know, there's always going to be positions of leadership that we have to fill to some degree or another. And if we want to be a great leader like Moses, we have to understand that prayer is a part of that process. You must be a person of prayer if you're going to make it as a Christian, if you're going to make it as God's child, if you want to be, you know, God's friend, if you want to be somebody that has an actual relationship with the Lord, that is somebody that has regular communion with the Lord, then you are only going to accomplish that through prayer. And without prayer, you know, you're not going to be a great leader. You're not going to be the servant that you could be. And you certainly will not be what Moses was called, a friend of God. So I just want to give us a few reasons tonight, a few reasons to pray. There are some things that we ought to pray for. And look, I know prayer isn't the most exciting thing to talk about. But I'll tell you this much, it's one of the most needful things for the Christian. It's one of the most needful things that we have to be the Christians that we ought to be, is to pray, to be a people of prayer. One of the things that should compel us to pray is forgiveness. And I'm talking about our forgiveness for ourselves. We all need forgiveness. Of course, we could talk about the fact that, you know, we all have to be forgiven of sin. We have to put our faith in Christ. But even beyond that, you know, we're never going to be perfect. We know that we're going to sin every day, that we're going to sin sins of the mind or of the heart or the flesh. We all are going to need to get with God and pray for the forgiveness of sin. I mean, that's really what was compelling Moses here. That's what drove him up into the mountain, was the fact that the children of Israel had sinned. He said there in verse 18, "And I fell down before the Lord God as at the first 40 days and 40 nights. I did neither eat bread nor drink water because of all your sins which ye sinned in doing wickedly in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger." He said, you did all these things. And he said, you know what? And I know something about God. He said, "For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you." You see, this is what we have to understand about sin in our lives, is that it makes God mad. Sin will upset the Lord. And it will actually get to the point where God will be wroth with us, where he'll be angry with us, as even as his children, just as he was with his, you know, his own people in his, you know, at this time, the children of Israel, God will eat just the same way, be upset with us if we allow sin into our lives. And here's the thing, we're all going to sin. We all have sin. The Bible says, "There's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Saved, unsaved, even after you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven, you still have the old man, you still have the flesh, you are still going to have sin in your life that you're going to have to confess and get right with God. And in fact, this is why I think so few people pray. This is why so many people want to put prayer off. Because if they know, if they really want to get serious with God, if they really want to get right with the Lord, if they really want to start, you know, pursuing that relationship and having a deeper walk with God, one of the first things that God is going to put his finger on is some sin in their life. And he's going to say, you got to get rid of this. You got to deal with this. And people don't want to deal with their sin. They want to keep their sin. They want to hold on to it. They don't want to get rid of it. Keep something in Deuteronomy. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter number 11. But we need to be compelled to pray and go to God and ask him to forgive us of sin. And you know, it ought to be sin that we're forsaking. You know, "He that confesseth and forsaketh his sin shall have mercy. But he that covereth his sin shall not prosper," the Bible says. And look, we all need to do it. And look, we might not even be somebody that, you know, has some, you know, sin of the flesh. We might not be drunks or fornicators or whatever. You know, if we are, we need to sit down and have a talk after church. Okay, we need to go look at 1 Corinthians 5. Okay, and have a pretty serious discussion. But my point is this, is that, you know, even as we grow older in the Lord, as we mature in the Lord, you know, we might not have these big blatant sins in our lives, but, you know, we're all going to have foolish sins. You know, there might not be sins that we even think that we need to confess to God, but, you know, I doubt that there's going to be anybody in this room that is going to go a week without, you know, having, you know, some kind of a sin that they know that they committed. Even if it was just accidental, even if it was something that was just a slip-up. You know, that's something that in all likelihood happens daily in our lives. We think something, we feel something. Maybe it's not some lust or something like that, but it might just be some foolish thought. It might be a bad attitude. It might be something that we didn't do. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It might not even be the things that we are doing. We might realize, look, I didn't do something I ought to have done. That is something that we need to confess to God. And not, you know, let this sin build up in our lives. Got to keep that sin account short with the Lord. Look at Luke 11, verse 2. It says there, "And he said unto them, when ye pray," okay, so this is, of course, the disciples asked him, excuse me, asked Jesus, you know, "Teach us to pray." And he said, "All right, I'll teach you to pray." I'm warming up. I hope you don't mind if I take this off. But he said, "When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." And notice verse 4, "And forgive us our sins." You know, a big part of our prayer life ought to be the confessing of sin. Because the fact is that there isn't a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. That we are all an unclean thing. That we've all turned aside. That, you know, we've all come short of the glory of God. We all should say, well, what should I pray for? And again, the point of this message is to compel you to pray. You say, well, I want to pray. I want to have that deeper walk. But what exactly is it should I pray for? Well, let me give you a few reasons to pray tonight. One of them is the fact that you have sin to confess to God. Every single one of us. And if we want our prayers to be heard, you know, we have to pray this and confess our sins. And hopefully, you know, as we mature and grow in the Lord, you know, that part of our prayer life gets shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Amen. Maybe we can even get through a day and say, you know what, as far as I can tell, Lord, I didn't offend you.
Amen.
Now, those days might be few and far between, but, you know, that's something to work on. Go over to 1 John chapter 1. I know we know it. 1 John chapter 1. David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And again, this is why people don't pray. You know, and this is why people go without a lot of things in their life, in their Christian life. They forsake a lot of blessings. They don't have God's power. They don't have God leading them and guiding them and directing them. They don't have the wisdom that they need to get from God. And look, those are all things that you need to get from God. But you can't get them if you're going to harbor sin in your heart. And that's why people go without it, because they know if they go and they want to get something from God, God's going to say, you know what, I would love to help you with that, but let's talk about this right here. Let's talk about this sin in your life. Let's talk about something that you need to get right. And rather than getting that right and confessing and forsaking that sin, people just say, well, I just won't pray then. I'll go to church, I'll read my Bible, I'll go soul winning, I'll do all these other things, but as far as me communicating with God and having a prayer life, I'm just going to forsake that because, you know, I've got this pet little sin in my life, or I'm stubborn and stiff-necked in this area, and I'm just not going to give this up. And you can go ahead and keep that, but you know what? You're going to miss out on everything else that God has for us. All the wisdom and the knowledge and the instruction and the comfort and the guidance and everything that else that God wants to give us. Look there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Well, I mean, I know Jesus said that we ought to pray, forgive us our sins. But I don't have anything that needs forgiven. Well, you know you're deceiving yourself at that point. And you're certainly not fooling anybody else with the brain in their head. He said in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a great promise from the Word of God. You know, a lot of people would, you know, could probably spare themselves a lot of, you know, unnecessary guilt. They could probably get a lot of the shame and things that, and regret out of their life if they would just go and confess it to God. They could just go and confess. They could take God up on this promise and say, hey, God is faithful and just to forgive me. People get into sin, they're doing wrong, they know what they're doing is wrong, and they just say, well, you know, I'm not going to pray about that because I just feel guilty about it. Well, like, that's the one thing, that's all the more reason to go pray and get that off your chest and get that over with. Get that out of your life. Move on and be cleansed. I mean, that's a great promise that God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. If anything, people struggle with not forgiving themselves. When people pray and they ask for forgiveness and they forsake sins, they're still beating themselves up. Well, that's not God, that's you. Look again at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. And look, we all could pray the same prayer that was prayed in Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. There's a good prayer to pray. I don't know what to pray. Go pray and ask God to show you your sin. Pray and ask God, is there anything in my life that displeases you? Is there anything that you would like me to change? Is there anything you would like me to stop doing or start doing? You know, something will probably come to mind. And it's probably something we've already been thinking about before we even got down on our knees. It's something that God's been dealing with us over. You see, it's a rebellious and sinful people that will not pray. People just think, well, I don't need God. I don't need his help. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 9. That's, you know, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that one point, but that is one reason to pray. You know, prayer is a major part of the Christian's life. At least it ought to be. You say, well, I know I should pray, but what should I pray for? Well, pray for forgiveness. Pray and ask God to forgive you of your sins and confess those sins and forsake them, and you'll have mercy. I mean, isn't it great that we can go to God, right to the throne, and ask for forgiveness? You don't have to go down to some Catholic priest and get in some phone booth with him and tell some man all your dirty secrets. I don't know who wants to sit around and listen to that stuff. I mean, that's what a lot of people out there teach you. The Bible says that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's it. Not some man in a dress with his collar on backwards. Dresses like mama, calls himself papa. And we saw that one in the airport. Yeah, crazy. Stuck out like a sore thumb. I don't know what he was doing in Vegas. We were just passing through, folks. It was a connecting flight, okay? We didn't leave the airport. But isn't it great that we don't have to go down to some Catholic priest and he's just going to give us some, go pray this script 100 times over? That we can come boldly before the throne. Pray for forgiveness. It's something that's afforded God's children. You know, another thing you could pray for is pray for other people. You know, people struggle sometimes. They don't know what to pray for. Here's a tip. Here's something you could do. Just write down a list of everybody you know. Just get a piece of paper out and write down the names of every single person at church. And you can start praying for them. There's a prayer list for you. Look, there's a prayer list right here tonight in this room. There's a whole list of prayers. Because even in this room, with these few people that are gathered here, you know, there's burdens, there's needs, there's people that need help. You know, people are going through things. People are going to go through things. And people need prayer that are in this room. Pray for others. That's what Moses was doing in our story. He said again in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23, verse 25, he said, "Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. As I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said he would destroy you." He said, look, I know you have a problem. He said, I knew there was something bad was going to happen to you. Something was going to come into your life that you would rather not have. So I went and prayed for you. I went up into that mountain twice for 40 days and 40 nights. I didn't eat anything. I didn't drink anything for you. And then he did it a third time later. He said in verse 26, "I prayed therefore to the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." You know, other people need prayer. Pray for other people. Go over to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter number 22. Keep something there. Actually, we're done in Deuteronomy. You can keep, you don't have to bookmark that, but go to Luke chapter 22. Look, there's other people in your life that need prayer. We ought to be praying for one another. I mean, this is something that's throughout the Bible. It's something we see examples of. The Bible says in James 5, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed." Now, that confessing faults, you know, I don't think that's a confessing of sin or things like that. But, you know, people might come to you and say, "Hey, I'm struggling with this. I have a problem in this area. Would you pray for this for me?" You know, you ought to be able to come to church and talk to people here and know that there's at least somebody in this world that cares for you enough that if you went to them in church, that they would pray for you. You know, when I say, "Hey, I'm praying for you," I don't want that to just be, you know, just a nice thing that I say to people. I want to mean that. When people even email the church and say, "Hey, would you pray for me?" You know, I want to be able to email back and say, "Yeah, I will." And not just because, you know, I want to make you feel better. Make you think that, you know, I care. You know I care because I love you. And you know what? Because I care and I love you, I am actually going to pray for you. And look, that shouldn't turn you, you know, that shouldn't make me or you some kind of spiritual superstar because we actually pray for people. That ought to be, you know, that ought to be just par for the course. That's just what should be expected in church. That if I go there and ask somebody for pray for me, they say, "I'll pray for you," that they'll actually do it. That they'll actually take my name before the throne of grace and pray for me. That's what we ought to do for one another. That's what it says. Pray for one another that you may be healed. And look, I think it's important, too, that we express what we need prayed for to people at church. You know, go and tell the clerk down at Quick Trip to pray for you. That, you know, that prayer, you know, some unsaved heathen, that prayer is not going to get past the ceiling. And they're probably going to look at you funny. Will there be anything else tonight, sir? You're checking out. Anything else? Pray for me. You know, I have this, you know, and you sit there and give them their burn. They're just gonna be like, next, you know. Yeah, I didn't want to hear all that. I meant, did you want to buy something, right? And you're going to walk out, and they're going to think, what a weirdo, right? But if you come here, you know, and you say that same thing to somebody else, you know, that's normal. We would say, okay, yeah, of course. That's what should be expected when you come to church. And, you know, people ought to, come to church and ask for prayer when they need it. I've known people that, you know, they have some burden, they have some issue, and they just carry it around. And they just think, well, you know, I just don't want anybody to know about this. Look, the Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We don't just pray because we, you know, because the Bible says to. I pray because I believe that those prayers will actually be heard and it will actually move God. Amen. That God will actually hear that and it will actually have a fervent effect. I believe that. You know, God is real. The Bible's true. I believe these things. You know, if I really believe these things, you know, that alone should be enough to compel me to pray for other people. So don't just, you know, don't keep it all in. Let people know if you need prayer. You know, and if somebody comes to you with a burden and says, hey, will you pray for me? Be sure to pray for that person. You there in Luke 22? Look at verse 31. You know, Jesus prayed for others. He prayed for his disciples. Pray for his church. He said in verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Good luck with that. Is that what he said? And that's too bad for you, Simon. Don't tell you. Look out. He's coming for you. He said, no, but I have prayed for thee. You know, what was he telling Simon? Look, the devil wants you. He wants to sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you, that thy faith fail not. You know, what he was doing is he was trying to offer him some comfort. He wasn't saying, look, Simon, you're never going to have any problems. Things are never going to come into your life, but I've prayed for you. What he said, he's comforting him. He, of course, is warning him, look, you're going to be sifted. You know, you're going to end up denying me, right? But I have prayed for you. And the devil's going to try and take you out, but I have prayed for you. You know, he didn't say, but I sent you my thoughts. But I'm thinking about you. I wrote you a Hallmark card, you know. I put a little note in a card and put it in the mail. That's good enough. Like, I'm not against cards, you know. I get them all the time for my kids. I get a lot of them, right? And I cherish those things. But, you know, those things aren't going to be what helps me when Satan comes and wants to sift me as wheat. When I have some burden, when I have some struggle, when I have some trial that I'm going through, when I have some real need that only God can come through for, what I'm going to need is not some sentimental little card. What I'm going to need is somebody to actually pray for me. And that's what we all need. We all need that. And that's why, you know, and the disciples needed it, and that's why Jesus did it for them. He said, look, but I prayed for you. Look at, you could just stay there. Go over to Matthew 6. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may glorify thee. And he said in verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. You know, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed for his church. You know, we ought to be people of prayer. You want to make prayer a part of your life? You might go, well, what do I pray for? Pray for other people. Pray for the people in this room. Pray for your neighbor. Pray for your relatives. Pray for that coworker. Pray for other people. I mean, good night. That would take probably a good hour right there. And you start praying for other people, what you start realizing is, like, I have to schedule different days for different people. This group's going to get it this day, and this group's going to get it this day, because there's just too many people. And they all need prayed for. You know, and again, this comes back to that same point I made earlier that you know, other people need to, we need to pray for other people, but we as those people need to be prayed for. And that's not, doesn't make you weak asking for prayer. You know, this is something I think sometimes that men might struggle with. You know, they're just too masculine to need any help. I'm just too big and tough. I appreciate it, but I don't need you praying for me. Well, yes, you do. Well, what about Paul? I mean, Paul asked for prayer. You know, and Paul was a giant of the faith. Paul wasn't exactly, you know, by any stretch, a spiritual weakling. You know, Paul asked for prayer, and he was a great man of faith. He said in 1 Thessalonians 5, brethren, pray for us. He said, pray for us. He's wrapping it up with the Thessalonians, and he's saying, look, I need you to pray for me. What can I do to help? Pray. What can I do to help this ministry? Pray for it. What can I help to do, preacher? Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for this church. He said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, finally, brethren, go to Hebrews 13. Let's make keep something in Matthew 6. Go to Hebrews 13. He said in 2 Thessalonians 3, and I want you to hear this one, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. He's saying, pray for us that the word of God would have what? Free course. That what we preach would be able to get out there. That it would be able to do its job. That it wouldn't be hindered. And he said in verse 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. So what is it that Paul needed to pray for? That what he preached, that his ministry would be effectual, that it would go out and it would do its job, that it would have free course. And what he was really saying is that it would not be hindered, that it would not be stopped, that they would be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You say, well, I don't know that I really need to pray for the pastor. I really don't need to pray for the preacher. I mean, it just seems like, you know, he's been at this for a while and knows what he's doing. Yeah, but he's also a target of the devil. He also, you know, the Satan wants to stop the ministry. He wants to hinder that. And he uses what? Unreasonable and wicked men to accomplish that end. You know, there's unreasonable and wicked men in this world that want to destroy ministries, that want to destroy the man of God. And that's not to lift up the man of God. That's just because that just makes sense. That's the head. That's who's leading the charge. You know, if you can take out the shepherd, the sheep will be scattered. Did I have you go to Hebrews 13? You know, leaders often in churches often like to go to this because it's such a great passage on obeying them that have the rules, saluting them that have the rule, acknowledging that there's people that have the rule, and that's important. Obey them, it says in verse 17, that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. And that's some, you know, real strong, authoritative language there about how there's certain people within the house of God that have the rule, that are to be submitted to, that, but they're, you know, they're to receive that because they're watching for your souls, that they're going to give an account. But notice verse 18. What does he say? Yes, obey. Yes, salute. Yes, acknowledge. But verse 18, pray for us. For we trust to have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. And Paul, again, thereafter, yes, asserting his authority, goes on to say, but I still covet and need and desire your prayers to be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. You know, pray for the people around you. Pray for, you know, the people that are leading in the church. Pray for me. Pray for my family. Pray for our pastor. Pray for his family. Pray for every person in the pews around you. They're all targets. And we ought to, of course, pray for the unsaved. You know, and we all know unsaved people in our lives that we would love to see get saved. And often we like to talk to them a lot about God, but we don't find ourselves talking a lot about God or to God about them. You know, I'm all for talking to people about God, but let's not forget to talk to God about those people. Pray for the unsaved. You know, and Jesus said, even for your enemies. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's all I'll say on that, because that's a tall order. You know, so these are just, you know, a few reasons to pray tonight. Because prayer ought to be a part of your life. You know, and if you're just starting out and you're just trying to make prayer a part of your life, you know, part of the thing, one of the things you might come up against is that you don't know what to pray for. Well, you know, pray and confess sin. Pray and ask God to guide you and to lead you and to help you to live a godly life. You know, but also pray for other people. You know, and that encompasses a lot right there. I try to cover a few of those bases. But lastly, pray for yourself. You know, and I know I already kind of touched on this when it came to the whole thing about confessing sin. But, you know, you ought to pray for yourself too. And there's nothing selfish about that. I don't know what to pray for. Well, what do you have need of? What are you lacking? What do you want? Go back to Matthew 6. Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." Now, let me clarify. This doesn't mean you pray for the Bentley. All right? Oh, I didn't know. You got that new Maserati on the way. Right? Ferrari parked out front tomorrow morning. Where is it, Lord? We know that if we pray anything according to his will, we shall have it. You know, we might pray. You can go ahead and pray for that sports car, that, you know, Lord, please guide me to the winning numbers in the jackpot lotto or whatever it is, the Powerball or whatever. Help me to win millions through doing nothing. God's not going to, he'll answer that prayer, but it's not going to be the winning numbers. It's going to be no. In fact, you'll probably say, quit gambling. Quit being covetous. That's what you'll probably hear. Well, maybe not those exact words. But you know, you ought to pray for the things that you have need of. Pray for the things that you have need of. Because we all have needs, even physical needs. You know, my wife is constantly telling me, "Oh, I prayed for this and I got it. I prayed for, you know, the clothes were getting threadbare when we got some clothes." I mean, little things like that. And we don't pray for those things because, you know, we think, "Oh, God's not going to concern himself with little old me." Oh, yes, he will. You know, God is wanting to show himself strong on our behalf. God wants to open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. You know, by giving us the things that we have need of. Not, you know, necessarily just the things we want. You know, "God, give me that all expenses paid vacation to the Bahamas." Yeah, but you don't need that. You know, and it might not even be a physical thing. You know, there's a lot to pray for when it comes to, you know, the spiritual things. Maybe it's some kind of a health issue or whatever. The Bible says, "Let us come therefore boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need." You know, maybe we're just going through a hard time. Maybe, you know, some tragedies come into our life. We're going through some difficult trial. You know, God's there to help us, to comfort us. You know, sometimes we just need a shoulder to cry on, as the saying goes. You know, there's no better shoulder than the Lord's. You know, that's a place to go out and pour out your heart is before God. You know, and God will hear that prayer. You see Matthew 6, look at verse 7. He said, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be therefore not like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Now, what Jesus, he isn't saying don't pray for the things that you have need of. You know, it says there, you know, don't be like these heathens. He says, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Is he saying, so don't bother asking him? Is that what he's saying? Well, God knows what you need, so just don't even bother asking. No, what he's saying is don't pray like this. Don't use vain repetitions. You know, I wish I knew some of those Catholic prayers, right? Those vain repetitions. Hail Mary, full of grace, right? Is that part? That's as much as I know, right? Although pray our Father's prayer repeatedly, right? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And just over and over, they use vain repetition. He's saying, look, don't pray like that. You know, one of the great things about prayer is that, you know, if God hears us and we know that and we believe that, we don't have to sit there and repeat ourselves. You know, prayer, we can just come to God and say, Lord, you know I have need of this, and this is what I need. So-and-so needs this, Lord, and so needs this. And that's it. And know that we are being heard. So it's not that he's saying don't ask for the things that you need. He's just saying just make sure you ask a certain way. Right? Keep it brief, to the point. And don't think that it's just some magical repetition. If I put enough coins into this vending machine, eventually it's going to spit out something I want. That's not God. You know, God wants to be asked in a particular way. Just like a parent, you know, they're more likely to give their children something if they're asked politely. You know, even if it's something my child needs, if they demand it, you know, I'm probably going to be more likely to withhold it and have, you know, a little talk. You know, have some sweet fellowship with them. And explain, look, you don't talk to me like that. But if they say, Dad, please, may I, you know, there's a way to ask for things. And that's all God is saying here. That's all the Lord's saying. There's a way to ask for the things that you have need of. And it's not, you know, rocking back and forth and reciting some script. Because that's not from the heart. That's why he says in verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he's saying, don't pray these words. He's saying, this is a model of prayer. Say, how should I pray? Well, you know, you might want to start out by addressing God as your Father and treating him as a father, coming to him as a child was their father, and, you know, hallowed be thy name. You know, maybe pray, give God some praise. Give him some thanks. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now notice this. He says, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. He's saying, pray for yourself. Pray for the things that you have need of. Pray for things that God needs to give you daily, the daily bread, to provide for you. Pray to be led, not into temptation. Pray to be delivered from evil. You know, if you're struggling with some sin, prayer is something you absolutely need to be doing to get over, to not be led into temptation. Pray for yourself. There's nothing wrong with that. It's what Jesus said to do. In fact, Jesus prayed for himself. Go to Matthew 26. We'll end there in Matthew chapter 26. And all I'm trying to do tonight is just give you a few things to pray for. These are just a few examples. And what I'm really trying to do is encourage people in this room to be people of prayer. To have a real, genuine, authentic prayer life that's consistent and effectual, because it's needed. That's what's needed. As a church, as an individual, that's what you need for yourself. That's what others need from you around you. We need people of prayer. And that's the impression I'm getting out of the scripture. Prayer seems to be a pretty important thing. Look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus into a place called Gethsemane and said unto his disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. He took Peter with him and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That's Jesus praying for himself. Look, Jesus prayed for the disciples. Jesus prayed for others. Jesus prayed over other people and healed people and cast out devils. I mean, Jesus prayed for a lot of other people, but he was not above praying even for himself. That wasn't something that, you know, he considered, you know, stooping in any way. Or selfish. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself and praying for the things that you have need of. Praying when you find yourself sorrowful and very heavy. There's nothing wrong with that. We wanted to give you a few things to pray for tonight. You know, so write that list. Write it and pray for it. Confess the sin if you need to. Forsake that sin. Pray for other people. Pray for yourself. These are just a few things that we can pray for. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the throne of grace. Lord, thank you for the shed blood of Christ that gives us access to it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people that avail ourselves to that throne, to that access that we have. And Lord, that we would go into prayer, Lord, believing that you hear us, and Lord, willing, being people that are willing to change whatever needs to be changed, Lord, so that we can get the things that we have need of from you. Things for ourselves and things for those around us. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and sing one more song before we go tonight.
Thank you.